Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, today we remember what God has done since Dr. Martin Luther nailed 95 points for debate about indulgences on the Castle Church door in Wittenberg, Germany on October 31st, 1517. In 2003, a movie came out titled Luther, that ends this way. There's Philip Melanchthon, who's triumphantly riding on a galloping steed, and he says, "We did it! They can't stop us now!" He comes to bring the news to Martin Luther and his wife, Katharina, who are standing in a field, wondering what's going to happen when the Lutheran princes come and stand before the Emperor Charles V in 1530. This is 13 years after Martin Luther nails these 95 debate points on a castle church door. It was at that council in 1530 that the Augsburg Confession, which is it's included in our Constitution, and it's a wonderful statement of faith, that's where that was presented, by people who were willing to confess their faith in Jesus Christ, in front of the emperor. In 10, 12, 13 years, the so-called Lutheran cause, they called them Lutherans as an epithet, was the restored gospel of justification by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And the Christian truth that we are saved only by the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ, for Christ's sake. It's now a treasured faith. Faith of lords and princes, faith of estates and cities, councils and congregations, and pastors and theologians, not just in Germany, but around the world. And even in 1517 and in 1513, while Luther remained outlawed, that's why he couldn't go to the conference in Augsburg, by both the Pope and the Emperor, church and state, we might say. He lived in political asylum in Saxony, Germany, where he and his followers pleaded their case, saying for the apostolicity, for the way that the whole Christian faith has been passed down from generation to generation, the faith of the apostles. That's why we confess the Apostles' Creed. This is the faith of the church, the Christian church, ever since St. Peter and St. Paul, ever since Jesus. Now, the Lutherans of those days, in the 1500s, were accused of many things. Some of them false, some of them true. But the Lutherans knew and they confessed their faith. And they knew that even this partial victory, what seemed like a victory with Philip Melanchthon flying around on his horse. Gascon surplus are good for that today. They knew it was a temporary victory, a small victory, and a much larger struggle. They knew that they were just some small, really insignificant minority. With might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our loss effected. They knew that. And this was no strategic understatement. It was realistic, it was humbling, and it was also terrifying. Because that old evil foe now means us deadly woe. Deep guile and great strength are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal. There's no equal on earth for the devil. And this was not a case of just the hallucinations or some paranoid psychosis of an obsessed, stressed out monk who saw devils all over. Even on the castle walls in the Wartburg Castle, where he was taken after he was kidnapped, and where he translated the New Testament into the people's language so they could read it and hear it for themselves. God's Word. No, this was the frightening experience of a persecuted church, but also its faithful members. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. The world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none, he's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him. In this God-given confidence, Christians stand up against the evil in this world. We know the one little name that can fell Satan. Jesus. Jesus Christ. It is Christ who in the burning bush says of himself, I am who I am. He is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. When you say Lord God of Sabaoth, that means Lord of armies. That's what you're singing. The Lord of armies, the host of heaven, is on our side. That should give you confidence. And it is the same Jesus who goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's betrayed, and says, it is I. Let these ones go. He's the one who stands up for you in the hour of darkness. So, following this perfect example of our Lord Jesus Christ, his disciples do not hide their light under a bushel. They too confess before kings and princes and whoever, I will speak of your testimonies before kings and will not be ashamed. This isn't the bragging of bullies. It's just defiant opposition against powers that be. Hoping against odds, Christians base their trust on the faithful promises of the one who really is their mighty fortress all along, Jesus the Messiah. We are emboldened by the valiant one whom God himself elected, who is by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. His sure and enduring word and his faithful promises have bound and held confessors to stand firm and not give way under the greatest threats and duress. Just like Martin Luther, this one little monk facing vengeful authorities was held steady as a true confessor of the true Christian church, of the true faith, captive to the Word of God. In that 2003 Luther film, the soundtrack gives voice to these poor peasants as he enters into the city of Worms to stand before the council. And they're singing outside the courtroom this hymn that we just sang, "A Mighty Fortress, Our Refuge and Strength, a Very Present Help in Trouble." This is the cry of the faithful throughout the centuries. Not in triumph, as Philip Melanchthon was, but through terrible trials and tribulations. Through the centuries, what have Christians faced? The same problems that you and I face. People who say, "You know nothing. You believe in God, huh?" Or you're doing something for God? How many ways in your life has the devil attacked that? Just trying to get here on Sunday morning sometimes. And how many times in the private places of your life, in the dark of night, where you're alone, Have you heard his attacks? This Psalm 46, which A Mighty Fortress is based on, this psalm was sung by the sons of Korah way back in ancient Israel in the temple. It's a psalm to God for what he has done for us. The midst of trial and tribulation. Sometimes when the world has you down and you're at a loss for words, the Holy Spirit gives voice in this fitting expression of what God has done for us. Luther's Reformation didn't start something new. He just brings back to light the old and the true faith in Christ. He gives voice to those who are struggling in the midst of darkness and despair, saying, "But for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who cleaned out the temple for good. It's he who pulled down the old barren ruins and rebuilt anew a fitting, a spiritual temple in his own body, the divine body of Christ, which is the church. He did it by sacrificing his body on that holy cross so many years ago. A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon." So even if we're threatened with the worst prospects of our imagination, take they are life, goods, fame, child and wife, though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth. By the grace of God, our hope is fixed on Him alone to help us, to rescue us and prevent us from these terrible calamities. We sing and pray to profess our faith and call on the one who helps, saves, comforts, and defends us from all. As the psalm says, "God is in the midst of her, the church. She shall not be moved." So as we celebrate God's faithfulness and his goodness throughout the ages, We're encouraged to see how he has kept his people and his church in the most wonderful ways. He kept his little church of 8 people, Noah and his family, through the great flood by preserving them in the ark. In the ark of the church, he kept his church safe even through the destruction of Jerusalem after Jesus. He kept his church safe from the invasions of the Turks in the 1500s. Through challenges of faith and other things, and scandal, because he is the church. Christ in you. Jesus Christ abiding in people. This is the church. This is who you are in Jesus Christ our Lord. The kingdom ours remaineth because of Jesus Christ. Because of his death on the cross. Because of his resurrection on Easter morning. That's your victory too. The kingdom ours remaineth. Thanks be to Jesus Christ, our mighty fortress, now and forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.